The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Ryan, Homefield Apparel is here to support Gopher Gridiron Radio. As I was walking around the tailgates in Clemson, Ryan, I was wearing one of my Homefield Apparel t-shirts, a Gopher Homefield Apparel t-shirt, and I was able to be spotted as the one not wearing Clemson gear. And they said, hey, where did you get that sweet shirt? I said, hey, you can get this sweet shirt and vintage licensed apparel from many universities, including your own in Clemson. All you have to do is go to homefieldapparel.com.
I cannot stress to you, from walking around the different tailgating lots this year, the amount of Homefield Apparel I saw out there, whether it's the Spin Your Head t-shirt that recently came out, one that the Gopher players were even wearing. I saw that at the airport. There was a guy wearing it. Whether it's the sweatshirt from the Minnesota football box, they've got, for these chillier games coming up, you got the bomber jacket, you got the coach's jacket. The amount of Homefield Apparel that you guys are finding that, yeah, it's cool, unique, and it fits well, and it feels good. There's a reason that we go with these guys, people. It's great quality stuff, very unique stuff that you're going to be excited to wear. So what we want you to do, go to homefieldapparel.com, click on Minnesota, click on your favorite NCAA 25 team, whether that's Missouri Western. I can guarantee there's going to be some unique things for you to check out. And when you do get to check out, use promo code GG, the numbers 24, and you get 15% off your first order. That is promo code GG24 at checkout.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to what might be my favorite game on the entire schedule to break down. Luke, I know you have been rubbing your temples. You're sitting in your basement thinking, how am I going to make it through this episode on the other end? Because it is not just a little walk this week, Mr. Luke Buer. It is a jaunt, a stroll. Pick your walking adjective. It is Narrative Street Week as your Golden Gophers, 6-3, head to Piscataway, New Jersey this weekend for an 11 a.m. kickoff on NBC against the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, or as Luke refers to them in our group chat, Minnesota East.
Yeah, you know, I thought we might both be having to get pinch hitters this week because we're both kind of battling colds. So in advance, we're going to have to ask for grace from the listeners. Because I'm going to try to avoid coughing into the microphone. I think you're also going to try to avoid that as well as the sniffles. Really, this was just my attempt to try and avoid talking about Narrative Street in general. I intentionally had two children with the intent of getting their colds eventually. to avoid this week and this preview and this breakdown. But the timing just didn't work out. I think that's the reality of the situation.
Well, in solidarity, I also got a cold so that my sniffling and coughing prevent me from being in a tree stand during the most magical time of the year for me, of which I've spent copious amounts of hours preparing for, and here I am not able to stay quiet. So, you know, Luke, as you often say, not all heroes wear capes, and we're going to persevere through this episode. So we appreciate everybody's understanding in advance.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Gophers obviously are taking on Rutgers. If you didn't get the whole narrative street bit, I'll give Ryan the opportunity to give some context around or define what narrative street is. But if you're familiar with Gopher football or this podcast, or you've listened to this podcast over a number of years, you're going to recognize a lot of names that we're going to talk about today. That's because I used to coach here at Minnesota, alternatively as well. PJ Fleck used to coach at Rutgers. He also followed Greg Schiano down to Tampa Bay as well. Let's get the definitions out of the way so we aren't confusing the listener as we go and we navigate through Narrative Street this week.
You just want me to rip off the Band-Aid off the rip. Well, I appreciate that for you. So here's the story, folks. There are as many connections as you will probably see in a PJ Fleck versus another team scenario. And what do I mean by that? Well, let's look at Rutgers. Luke mentioned it already. Greg Schiano gave him his first opportunity at the Power 5 level back in 2010 when Greg Schiano hired a very young PJ Fleck as his receivers coach for Rutgers. Well, PJ then followed him to Tampa Bay one day after accepting an offensive coordinator job. Well, guess what? He followed him to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2012. So you've got those two that have history going back. Fleck has often said that he thinks of Schiano as one of his mentors, I would say. But then it's become a little bit more complicated considering Schiano has now hired both of his coordinators straight off of Minnesota staff. Most recently, Kirk Ciarrocca prior to the 2023 season. Now, speaking of Kirk Ciarrocca, he has been the offensive coordinator for PJ Fleck for 8 of his now 12 years as a head coach. Obviously the most of any offensive coordinator, so he knows this staff, this Minnesota team, and this university very well. And then, oh, by the way, it's his former protege, Greg Harbaugh, who now runs the offense for Minnesota. So you've got mentor versus mentee a little bit there. Same thing goes for Rutgers defensive coordinator Joe Harasymiak. You'll remember Minnesota had him on staff from 2019 to 2021. So what does Minnesota do when Joe Rossi leaves for Michigan State? If they can't hire Joe Harasymiak, they're going to hire his number two in command, going back to the University of Maine when Harasymiak was the head coach there, and Corey Heatherman. And then obviously, people, the elephant in the room, Flip Dixon. No, I'm kidding, but he is on the defense, and you'll see plenty of him. It is Ethan Kaliakmanis revenge week. You have the former Gopher starting quarterback who Minnesota was all in out of high school on, got him committed, didn't take a quarterback in the next class because of it, and then his tenure here didn't go as planned. Plagued with inconsistencies, he hits the transfer portal, and it's Kirk Ciarrocca, the man who recruited him at Minnesota, who takes him out of the portal at Rutgers. And if you don't think that Ethan wants to perform well against his former team, if Max Brosmer doesn't want to perform well and show that Minnesota made the right choice with him, I don't care what you hear this week. And that's where clearly Fleck was very prepared for this. I will tell you this. It was very interesting. I knew he wasn't going to talk about it, Luke, but he almost gave some of the shortest quotes of the entire year. Now, if you know anything about PJ Fleck, he is not short on words.
He's pretty long-winded.
But even people asking him about if this game, like myself, if this game means a little bit more because of the emotion behind it and the connections, or people asking him about Ethan, they were some of the most short and calculated answers of the entire year, which I thought was interesting in itself. So there's a lot of emotion for a random 11 a.m. game between Minnesota and Rutgers. I'll talk about it later in my keys to the game, but just know that while the coaches and the players won't say it means a little bit more this week, look, I've talked with enough people in enough places behind the scenes. I think both staffs are well aware that Rutgers needs this one coming off a bye week. They start 4-0. They've lost four straight. Minnesota's won four straight, but knows that if there was ever a pair of coordinators that know the personnel and the way that Minnesota wants to play, it's Joe Harris-Simiak and Kirk Ciarrocca. So it is. It just adds a little bit of, I don't know that the right word is vibrato to an 11 a.m. game on the East Coast, but it makes it a little bit more interesting when I wake up in New Brunswick on Saturday morning. I don't think I'm going to need a coffee because I'm going to be ready to go.
Yeah, I was going to say, is this your first trip to Piscataway?
Oh, I'm trying to remember if I was there. I think this might be because Minnesota and Rutgers have played three times.
Minnesota's won all three.
Was that the Casey O'Brien game?
Yeah.
I was not there at that one.
I think so. Yeah, I think that's accurate. And I think from what I can tell here, Minnesota and Rutgers have played three times all time, and Minnesota has won all three games.
Correct. I mean, Rutgers has been a doormat for largely the entire time these two teams have played. Now, they're better, I would say. Probably,
yeah,
this might
for
be
sure.
the best Rutgers team that Minnesota has faced.
Yeah.
But it's not like Rutgers is also, the 98 Vikings or anything.
Okay. So thank you for defining Narrative Street for us and giving us some of the context. I'm sure it'll get woven in throughout the remainder of this episode. Let's talk about injuries because they obviously play a big factor in any football contest. But we know that Rutgers is actually a fairly downtrodden team as it comes to injuries. It started early in the season when they lost their one of their best defenders, I believe a defensive end or linebacker. I can't remember his name, but he was lost to like an ACL tear. And then ever since the season has gone on, they've really struggled with injuries. So yeah, give us a perspective on what you think we might see with regards to injuries and how it might impact this game.
Yeah, let's start from Minnesota. And that's where, if you watched the game last week, what I'm going to probably refer to as the Darius Taylor game of 2024, where Darius goes down three different times, stays in the game, plays through some bumps and bruises, and as one of the most overused cliches in sports, Luke, I will say the word grit. It was a very gritty performance from everybody's favorite running back. Sounds like he's going to play through these bumps and bruises. Same thing goes for Ja Joyner. I also expect that Tyler Cooper is going to return from the concussion protocol. Same thing goes for Zaquan Bryan. Now, the interesting part about it, Luke, is PJ Fleck was asked earlier this week by myself and a couple other members of the media, what are you planning on doing with the offensive line? That's where I think Andy Greeter of the Pioneer Press asked him about Quinn Carroll's performance, because Pro Football Focus had Quinn Carroll as the top right guard of the week in college football. He played really, really well. And within that, once he finished that statement, I said, hey, coach, quick follow-up. Does that mean that Philip Daniels is going to stay at right and you're just going to keep Quinn inside a guard? And Fleck actually said, yes, that's what we're planning to do. And it's like somebody, I mean, I didn't know we were allowed to get discernible information from a PJ Fleck press conference. So with assuming that the head coach is being correct, Philip Daniels is going to get his second career start. That'll be at right tackle. Quinn Carroll, coming off the best game, arguably, of his career, stays inside. Greg Johnson, coming arguably off the best game of his career, stays at center. That would likely mean that Ashton Beers is probably the odd man out here, which would allow Tyler Cooper to come back. And then you got Ariante Ursery at left tackle. So this is a group that's been jiving. They've been doing awfully well. So let's see if they can keep it up. Now, your point on the Rutgers side, I mean, that's the story of Rutgers' season, especially defensively. I think you could draw a lot of correlations between Rutgers' 2024 defense and Minnesota's 2023 defense. What's the common denominator? Not a lot of depth and a lot of top-end injuries, where, to your point, their linebacker, Mohamed Touré, who led the team in sacks and tackles for loss last year, tore his ACL before the season. He's out. Your other starting linebacker, Tyreen Powell, missed the start of the season recovering from an Achilles injury, and he's now banged up and playing through some things. They've got a couple of defensive linemen, and Aaron Lewis and Wesley Bailey, that are both hurt and playing up. And then they've got three members of their starting secondary and former Gopher defensive back, Flip Dixon, and then both outside corners and Eric Rogers and Robert Longerbeam, which that is very much a nice Key and Peele-esque name there, Robert Longerbeam. they're all playing through something. So they're essentially the walking wounded defensively. And the way that Schiano has talked about it is a lot of these injuries are not going to be fixed with a bye week, which Rutgers is coming off. A lot of these injuries, it's going to feel better. Maybe they go from 70% to 85%, 90%, but they won't be at 100% until they can get some off-season surgeries done. So that's kind of the story of Rutgers defense is they have really struggled of late. They're playing a lot of young guys, but they're very, very much injured. Even on offense, their star tailback, Mo Ibrahim reincarnate, Kyle Manungai, he was in the concussion protocol, I believe, heading into the bye week. Sounds like he's cleared. I heard on Tuesday that he was practicing, but he hasn't been at 100% for a while here either. So they are very banged up across the board. And I guess fortunately for Gopher fans, it sounds like while they may be healthier, they are not going to be healthy heading into this Gopher game.
All right, so let's talk about when the Gophers are on offense on the season. The Gophers are averaging 27.6 points per game. Rutgers is averaging giving up 24.8 points per game. The Gophers are averaging 337 yards of total offense, while Rutgers is giving up 392 yards of total offense. As it comes to... pardon me. As it comes to rushing, the Gophers are averaging 112 yards per game, where Rutgers is giving up 165 yards per game. And the Gophers are averaging 225 yards through the air. And Rutgers is giving up 226.6 yards through the air. So, Ryan, if the Gophers are going to find success against this Scarlet Knight defense, how are we going to see them find that success?
Well, honestly... I think you can attack them either through the air or on the ground. When you look at the Big Ten only stats, they're just not very kind to Joe Harris-Simiak's defense. I mean, no team in the Big Ten has been worse at yards per carry allowed than Rutgers. They're allowing 4.90 yards per carry. No surprise then to learn they're allowing almost 170 rushing yards per game. I'd also say that no Big Ten team has allowed more 30 or more yards and explosives than six. So I did a horrible job of phrasing that, but there have been six different 30-yard runs allowed by Rutgers' defense. That is the most amount of explosive runs allowed by a Big Ten team or even their pass defense, Luke. I mean, against Big Ten quarterbacks, okay, they're allowing 71% of their passes to be completed for 281 on average yards per game with 9 passing touchdowns and 2 interceptions. And oh, by the way, Luke, they are dead last in the Big Ten in takeaways. They have 4 and 5 conference games. They really aren't doing a lot right. Now, I think a lot of that has to do with how bad they've been on early downs, which, I mean, they're one of the bottom 15 defenses in college football at EPA allowed on early downs, which means, to the shock of no one, they're not going to be very good on third down either. So teams have been sustaining drives. Teams have been finding the end zone when they do get into the red zone. I almost just think for Minnesota, you just have to continue to do what you were doing last week. And if the offensive line plays as well as they played last week, I think you're going to be able to protect Max Brosber. I think you're going to be able to run the football. But you have to get this Rutgers defense on their heels here. They have allowed 35 or more points in each of their last 3 games, and that was to Wisconsin, UCLA, and USC. So I don't know what you think about the caliber of those offenses compared to what Minnesota has shown here on this winning streak that they're on, but I think a fast start might get going in the Rutgers players' minds off the bye week. Oh boy, here we go again, and then at that point, who knows what can happen, but I think a fast start is going to be key here.
Yeah, exactly. Looking at some of the advanced stats, you bring up the early downs, which was one I was going to cite. But defensive success rate rushing, Rutgers is 122nd in the country. And in defensive success rate on dropbacks, they're 91st in the country. Additionally, you look at their net points per drive. They're giving up 2.15 points. That's 108th in the country. And then points per eckel, meaning a sustained drive, they're 123rd. The Gophers, and if you look at points per eckel, the Gophers are on offense are have 3.9 points per Echol versus you look at the Rutgers defense is giving up 4.3 points per Echol. So a sustained long drive is often ending in a touchdown against this Rutgers defense, which obviously is very, very, very difficult.
Yeah, essentially, Minnesota's doing a really good job of sustaining drives into the red zone. And when they do get into the red zone, they're scoring touchdowns. And on the flip side, Rutgers defense is having too many drives against them get in the red zone, result in touchdowns, which, trust me, I'll get to my random stat of the day, which is, we'll get to that a little bit later. It's one of the strangest things I've seen, and that it has to do specifically with opposing teams against this Rutgers defense when they get to the green zone.
All right. Otherwise, you know, I think to your point, you know, you got to be able to run the football. Obviously, Darius Taylor had a significant load against Illinois. You're going into a bye week. You'd like to see them start fast and then find a way to be able to work in some other guys other than just Darius Taylor. I know we've seen Marcus Major play a pretty significant role, but you've got some more running back depth that you'd like to maybe see get a few carries. I'd like to see that. We'll see if that comes to fruition, but you hope that you can have ball control and do that. And then obviously I'd like to see the tight ends continue to play a bigger role going into this specific game. You know, mostly for the irony of having the tight ends have success against Kirk Shiraka just might make some hardcore Gopher fans laugh.
I forgot about that whole thing, which is how I guess disconnected I've been. For those of you who don't remember, Kirk Shiraka essentially never used tight ends at any point during his Minnesota career, which I don't know how people feel about that, but certainly Luke Buehr remembers. And Luke, it makes my heart go a flutter when you give us former collegiate tight ends a little bit of love.
I just think it would be funny, like if Jameson Gears went for like 5 catches and 80 yards and 2 touchdowns, you know, that I think would
so
just...
he catches the touchdown and then he looks up at the booth and then he just points. Which, by the way, did you see the touchdown celebration that the whole offense did after Jameson Gears scored his touchdown?
No, I'll have to go back and look at that.
Well, I'm pretty sure it was Stone Cold Steve Austin, where they like all ripped like all shotgunned a beer,
and then
just like clapped their hands and shotgunned a beer. I'm pretty sure that's Stone Cold Steve Austin. Now, I haven't seen wrestling in quite a few years, but that's very, very tight end of them if that's the case.
Yeah, that's funny. Okay, yeah, I don't have anything else on offense. Do you have anything else before we catch a quick break?
Let's catch that break.
Ryan, Dinkytown Real Estate Group is here to support Gopher Gridiron Radio and, more importantly, Dinkytown athletes and the athletes that it serves. You know, the weather is getting colder, but that doesn't mean that it's not a good time to buy a house. It's often time when you can get some of the best deals in the market. These are experienced real estate agents that are going to take a portion of their commission, and it's going to go directly to Dinkytown Athletes to support their initiatives on NIL. So if you are looking to buy or sell your house, please reach out to this very veteran group of real estate agents that can help you get the best bang for your buck.
They continue to sell houses well above asking, or if you're just trying to figure out how do I get into the, I want to buy a home and I don't know anybody and I know it's complicated to get into. What I want you to do, go to teamdinkytown.com, all one word, or you can just give them a call. They'd love to talk to you at 612-250-8562.
Ryan, the Burns Insurance Agency is here again to support Gopher Gridiron Radio. I know it's getting colder out, Ryan. I'm starting to see some snow in the forecast. That can mean two things, right? Number one, it can mean you're going to get your snowmobiles out soon. Or number two, it can mean roads are going to get slick and there are going to be accidents. Let's make sure you have the best coverage possible for the best price possible.
Exactly. And that's what the Burns Insurance Agency, owned by my father, wants to do. They believe in service, service, and service. They don't want to be the biggest insurance agency in the world. They know that's not possible. But they want to be the one that gives you the best possible coverage at the best possible price while putting your needs first. Now, they are not just licensed in the great state of Minnesota. It's both of the Dakotas, Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan, New York, Florida, and Utah. So if you think you're paying too much for your home, your auto, whatever little toy that you do have, check them out at insurancebyburns.com or email him bill@insurancebyburns.com.
All right, Ryan, let's take a quick look when the Gophers are on defense. So I just want to highlight real quickly, These documents that Carl Anderson puts together are awesome. I think we're recording this one too early to get his, so I'm having to use the Rutgers one. And it is formatted in a way that is, I find so frustrating that I can hardly find the stuff that I want. But whatever. It's just kind of nonsensical, but whatever. Okay, on the season, Rutgers is averaging 25.8 points per game. The Gophers are giving up 16.8 points per game. On the season, Rutgers is averaging 387 yards of total offense. Conversely, the Gophers are giving up 290 yards of total offense. And then looking at the rushing, Rutgers is averaging 181 yards per game. The Gophers are giving up 121 yards per game. And let's see, passing. Sorry, this is alphabetized, but I'm an idiot. Rutgers is averaging 206 yards passing, and the Gophers are giving up 169 yards passing. I do want to also mention, I'll mention this. This is a total team thing. On the season, Rutgers is a +3 in turnover margin, and the Gophers are a +12. So Ryan, how are the Gophers going to find success on Saturday against the Scarlet Knight offense that is led by Ethan Kaliak-Manis and Kirk Shiraka?
They got to stop the RPO, and they have to stop Kyle Menungai, who I think is probably the most talented running back that isn't talked about more. I think there are so many similarities in my mind between he and Mo Ibrahim. What do I mean? Well, neither were highly rated recruits from the East Coast. They got their Big Ten offers incredibly late in the recruiting process. And all they've done since arriving on their Big Ten campuses has exceeded expectations, because Kyle Menungai is not the biggest or fastest guy in the world. But stop me if you've heard this before. He's extremely good at making the first man miss and then grinding for additional yardage. Now, again, call me crazy. Sounds a lot like somebody else that I covered for a very long time. Now, Menungai is averaging 5.4 yards per carry. He has got 626 rushing yards after contact, which is third best in the Big Ten. And oh, by the way, he is sixth best among all Power 4 running backs in missed tackles forced with 51. He has forced, I believe, six or more in four straight games. And I think we've seen, whether it was Caleb Johnson against Iowa, whether it was Omarion Hampton against North Carolina, Minnesota has struggled against backs like that. Now, this is a different defense than what played against those guys in August and September, so we're going to see how much they've learned. But stopping Menungai is going to be massive here, because, look, I don't want to be that guy, but if I'm Minnesota and I'm Corey Heatherman, I want to make Ethan Kaliak-Manis beat me for 60 minutes, because we have spent God knows how many hours on this podcast talking about Ethan Kaliak-Manis in the first half versus the second half, or Ethan Kaliak-Manis under pressure versus when he's kept clean. And the reality is, even at Rutgers, he's been better, but he hasn't been incredibly great. It's just getting him to find a changeup is still a struggle, which is why Ethan has had more passes dropped than any other Big Ten quarterback. And when he's kept clean versus when he's under pressure, he's a very different quarterback as well. So I think it comes down to that, is if Minnesota can stop the run and they can stop the RPO game, which Shiraka loves to go to, if you can kind of take that away from Ethan and make him think about going to a second read, that's where the opportunity for turnovers is going to come in. Now, I will say this, speaking of turnovers, Luke, we talked about how Rutgers defense does not turn anybody over. They've only got four turnovers in five games forced. Well, guess what? On the flip side, Rutgers doesn't turn the ball over at all. They are, I believe they have four turnovers as an offense in five games. That is best in the Big Ten, while Minnesota's defense has turned the ball over more than any other Big Ten defense. So you've got an offense that doesn't turn it over versus a defense that thrives on turnovers. Feels like something has to give in Piscataway.
Yeah, it really does feel like that. Just to get back to Rutgers in the passing game, noted that they seem to have a lot of young receivers, Ryan. I don't know if you've looked at kind of some advanced stats, but I wonder how many drops they're having to deal with. We obviously know that that Ethan at times can be shaky, especially when under pressure, right? And he doesn't always deliver a great ball. But, you know, when he's able to make that first read, and when he's able to be decisive, he often can be very good. And sometimes he has that wow factor. You just hope he doesn't get onto that kind of rhythm, and the Gophers can keep him off a rhythm and keep him really thinking and on his toes.
Well, the interesting part about it is there is one receiver that Ethan will target more than anybody else. His name is, I believe, Dymire Miller, and he is a slot receiver exclusively. I mean, 95% of his snaps come from the slot. So you'd be looking at guys like Jayonte McMillan, Justin Wally, Kerry Brown. I mean, the next closest guy behind Miller, and again, Miller has 61 targets through the first 8 games of the year, is Chris Long, who has 28. So Miller has more than twice as many. And yeah, he struggled with some drops, but I think we also know at this stage, I don't think it's a coincidence that pass catchers struggle as much as they do to catch Ethan's balls. Just kind of is what it is at this point.
Yeah. And you hope that the Gopher secondary can hold up. I think the big thing is, like, we don't know injuries. We never are going to know injuries. But obviously having Maverick Baranowski back and playing consistently has been a big help in the run defense, I think, for this Gopher team. It's been good to see him back the past couple of weeks. Hope that continues and they find some success. And continue to tackle well on the back end, because Kerry Brown, for instance, has been really good. They're going to need it against a guy like Manungai, who very often is going to be able to find his vision is going to get him some extra yards as well as his toughness.
Yeah, as much as it is Kerry Brown, it's also Coy Parrish. And then the unsung hero of that safety core, Aiden Goosby, needs to continue to have some of his best tackling games of the year, because if Manungai gets loose for 58 instead of 8 or 18, that certainly is going to change the scope of this game.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, you got anything else you want to hit on offense? Otherwise, we can get to some facts and figures.
Sounds like a good idea to me.
Okay, so the Gophers are on the season 6-3, 4-2 in the Big Ten. Rutgers is 4-4, 1-4 in the Big Ten. Interestingly, Ryan, the seasons for both teams have kind of gone in polar opposite directions. In the past 5 games, Minnesota is 4-1, having won 4 in a row. Conversely, Rutgers is 1-4, having lost 4 in a row. This game on Saturday will be an 11 a.m. kick here in Minneapolis. It will actually be played, though, in Rutgers, just noting the time will be 11 a.m. And this game will be on NBC. It will be play-by-play by Jack Collinsworth, analyst Michael Robinson, and reporter Caroline Padina, I think. We'll see if that's correct. Same radio crew for the Golden Gopher radio crew, Mike Grimm, Daryl Thompson, and Justin Gard. All time, Minnesota leads the series 3-0. The Gophers have only played once in Piscataway, a game that Minnesota won in 2022, 31-0. Oh, I'm sorry, that was the last meeting in 2022. That was in Minneapolis. And the last meeting in Piscataway was in 2019, where the number 20 Gophers won 42-7. One thing to note is Greg Schiano is the head coach. We talked about the ties that they have historically, he and PJ Fleck. I think that's continuing to worth noting. And then I just want to do a quick look at the weather. Ryan, are you looking forward first to your trip out to Piscataway?
I don't know. I'd say the most important thing I'm looking forward to is having a nonstop flight, which, earlier today, I recorded my airplane grievances on Pair and Spare, which I will air only one of them just now so people can get angry at me for something else. Luke, how do you feel about people reclining their seats? Do you do it when you go on the airplane?
No, I don't. We've talked about this before. I don't like it. I don't mind it as long as I'm not working. If I'm trying to work, I do care, because then my computer screen gets tipped and I'm a little bit taller. Otherwise, I don't mind it.
Yeah, I just look. As a 6'4" human being on an airplane, I'm very self-conscious of that, where I know I'm already, like, I'm the person that you look at when you're walking down to like, you're okay, I'm an 18B. Who's the guy next to me? I hope he's not gigantic. And then you look and see it's me and you're like, gosh darn it. So like I try to take up as little space as possible. And I had twice on two different flights on the way to and from Champaign, I had somebody who is probably 5'8" and under. And to me, that matters as someone who is, look, as tall as I am. In an ideal world, Luke, every time I fly, I try to get an exit row just so I can give myself a little bit more leg room. I don't have to take up as much space around me, yada, yada. But they put, I mean, my knees are already like, because I'm on like a farm plane from Champaign to O'Hare, and they put it back both times on that flight, which is not a very long flight. I'm cognizant of that. It's like a 40-minute, maybe 30-minute flight. But, I mean, they're putting their seat back, and my knees are already right there, and they got nowhere to go. I had the audacity of this dude to, like, he started bouncing, and I was just like, I hope he looks back to see he has a gigantic human being behind him. Maybe we can keep the seat upright. So here's my stance, and I know people are already frustrated with me at this point. If you want to recline your seat, I think it should be common courtesy to like look behind you and see it. Okay, if you have like an 8-year-old child, go for it. But if it's like a grown adult, you should ask them, can I put it back? Because to your point, Luke, I was going to try to get some stuff done, but I'm already cramped, and then we got lean back seat McGee out here. I just, again, I'll get off my step stool, and thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
All right, let's get to the weather real quick. It looks like it should be a beautiful day for football in Piscataway. For the noon kick there, local time, it looks like it'll be about 57 degrees, topping out at about like 59, so pretty consistent. Doesn't look like the wind should be much of a factor. Looks like it should be partly cloudy with maybe a fair amount of sun. Just looks like a beautiful fall day. Should be great for some football. Let's get to the betting lines real quick, Ryan. The Gophers opened as a 6-point favorite, and that number, as I see here on ESPN Bet, has stayed at a 6-point favorite. The over-under is 46.5. We'll get back to that later when we get to our predictions. For this specific game, again, this is an 11 a.m. kick on November 9th on NBC. So, Ryan, why don't you give us your keys to the game as we look for the Gophers to maybe move to a 5-game Big Ten win streak for the first time in who knows how long. I'll try to figure that out.
So my key for the offense is they have to stay aggressive against a very injury-riddled and banged-up Rutgers defense. Now, a large part of why Joe Harris-Simiak's Scarlet Knights defense and why Rutgers in general is on a 4-game losing streak right now, well, when you allow 35 or more points in 3 consecutive games, that's going to be really tough to come back from. But they have been so injured. I already laid it out earlier. Their best player, Muhammad Ture, is missing the year because of a torn ACL prior to the season. Their other best player, Tyreen Powell, missed the start of the season recovering from an Achilles surgery, but he's now banged up. He's still playing. He's just not at 100%. They've got 3 different starting defensive backs who are playing through something, headlined by Minnesota's former safety, Flip Dixon. They're just very banged up. I mean, it feels like what Minnesota went through last year with their defense, where they were very top-heavy, they had a wave of injuries hit, and the guys behind them weren't ready. That's why they're the worst team in the Big Ten against the run in terms of yards per carried allowed at 4.90. And then, oh, by the way, opposing Big Ten quarterbacks, that is, are completing 71% of their passes for an average of 281 yards per game with 9 passing touchdowns and 2 interceptions. And by the way, they don't turn anybody over. They have 4 turnovers forced in 5 games. So they're not very good so far against the run. They're not very good so far against the pass. And they have 4 turnovers in 5 games. That is not a recipe to do much good. So if you're Minnesota, and I'm Greg Harbaugh, the offensive coordinator, I'd like to start the game by leaning on that offensive line that played so well. We're talking about Greg Johnson and Quinn Carroll playing some of the best games of their careers. You hopefully get back Tyler Cooper from the concussion protocol. And we're talking about an offensive line in general that was very physical, brought it to Bielema as a defensive front last week. If you can do that 2 weeks in a row, it's going to be what I like to coin Chip Scoggins' favorite dream. That is a balanced modern offense where maybe you run the ball a little bit more, but you can certainly set up the play action game off of that. So it's going to be Max Brosmer needs to have a bounce back after he was as inconsistent as we've seen him. And I say that with a little bit of sarcasm, considering he still completed 60% of his passes with no turnovers. But if you can get Rutgers defense on their heels, early, I believe it's going to be a, all right, here we go again moment, because we're talking about 18 to 23-year-olds at this point. The offense has got to start fast in Piscataway. Now, the headline for my defensive key to the game, Luke, is not going to surprise anybody. Make Ethan Calley-McManus beat you for four quarters, because it's going to seem like deja vu for so many Gopher fans, whether you're in Piscataway or you're turning on Care 11. When you look out across the field and you see Ethan Calley-McManus on there for a Minnesota game, well, guess what? He's going against your Gopher defense. So if I'm Corey Heatherman, I'm doing everything I can do to stop the running game and make the Illinois native beat me. Now, that's going to be easier said than done, because I will say this. Kirk Ciarrocca has really kept this Rutgers offense on track, and a lot of that has to do with how well they're blocking in the run game. When you look at the Pro Football Focus grade, the Scarlet Knights grade out as the number one run blocking unit in all of the Big Ten. I mean, they have been really good in that aspect. Now, it helps to have Kyle Manungai. I've already sung his praises quite a bit. Their star tailback, who is averaging over 5 yards per carry, is sixth best among Power 4 running backs in missed tackles forced. And I've already told you as well how Minnesota's defense has struggled going against a couple of guys higher than Manungai on that list, and Caleb Johnson and Omarion Hampton. But if you can stop Manungai and get Ethan Calley-McManus into some second and third and longs, that's where we're going to find out how much Ethan has changed. Because when you look at the stats overall, we're talking about, I believe Ethan only has 5 interceptions on the season. But Pro Football Focus, in that same breath, has credited him with 11 turnover-worthy plays. What does that tell you? That tells me there's been some luck on Ethan's side where maybe guys haven't hung on to the football or it's just glanced off their hands. Because Ethan is a very different quarterback when he's under pressure versus kept clean. Now, Pro Football Focus has definitions for these, but when Ethan has been under pressure this season, at Rutgers, he is completing 37% of his passes with more interceptions than touchdowns. Compare that to when he is kept clean and he is completing about 60% of his throws. So that's a big improvement from his 37%. With 7 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Now, he's been better this fall at Rutgers, but like many college quarterbacks, and I feel like I say this every week, if you can get them feeling uncomfortable, there are going to be opportunities for takeaways. He has been sacked 10 times in his last 4 games. He has been under pressure on average 15 dropbacks per game. So if you can get Rutgers out of third and short, which is, by the way, where they have lived all year, they are 6th best in college football in third down distance to go, which a lot of that is Manungai and Ciarrocca keeping them on track. But if you can get Ethan into passing downs, let's see if he can string together 60 minutes of football. And then finally, I got to go back to Narrative Street, Luke. Because
I knew it. You avoided this so like almost the entire episode, and you just couldn't help yourself, could you?
Well, look, it's that or special teams, and I'm tired of talking about special teams, so I will go with Narrative Street. So my final key to the game is the Gopher staff has to approach this like any other game. I mean, I've told you about how Schiano gave Fleck his first Power 5 head coach or Power 5 coaching job, took him to Tampa Bay after that. You've got Kirk Ciarrocca, who was with Fleck for 8 years, and now his protege, Greg Harbaugh, runs the offense. You've got Joe Harris-Simiak, who worked at Minnesota. Now he got hired away, and now his number two is running the Minnesota defense. You've got Ethan Calley-McManus against his former team. But here's the reality. You can't just tell me it's the next game on the schedule. Is it? Yeah, that's factually true, but it's obviously so much more than that. Why? Because we're all human beings. And because while you can run from the emotion of it, but you can't hide. And I'm not your therapist in saying that, but here's what I mean. You don't think Fleck wants to beat his former mentor maybe a little bit more in Greg Schiano? You don't think Ethan Calley-McManus
wants to have the game of his life against his former team. You don't think Harbaugh and Heatherman want to show their coordinator mentors on the other side what they've learned? It's in our nature as human beings here, Luke. So that's my question this game is, can Minnesota take the emotion out of it? Because Harbaugh knows how Shiraka game plans. Heatherman knows how Harris Simiak game plans. But do you want to let your fellow coordinator know all that to throw them off their game? Because obviously what Harbaugh and Heatherman are doing right now, it's working really well. There's a reason why Minnesota's won 4 straight games. Whatever their process is, I don't think it should be tampered with. So believe me or not, I don't care. I'm just telling you that both Minnesota and Rutgers, their coaches and players, are going to say this week, and they have. It's just the next game on the schedule. Well, guess what? It's so much more than that for an 11 a.m. kickoff in Piscataway. So I think for the Gopher staff is this. You got to take the emotion out of it and approach this like any other game.
Well, thank goodness that's over. Just kidding. Okay, let's get to our game predictions, Ryan. Just a reminder for everyone paying attention at home and who is a longtime listener this season. On the season, Ryan, you've pulled into a lead, and I'd hope you would. You are now 7-2 straight up. On the over-under, you're 3-5, and against the spread, you're 3-6. I'm 5-3 on the year. I'm 2-7 against the over-under, and I'm 2-7 against the spread. A reminder that we did designate last week's game against Illinois as a coin flip. I would say that definitely was a coin flip game, being it was a 1-point or a 1-score game. And we did designate this game as a coin flip. On the betting lines, Minnesota is a 6-point favorite. The over-under is 46.5, Ryan. Very typically, I go first. I'll give you the honors if you'd like to. Otherwise, I'm happy to go first.
I'm going to give you the floor again because you had to listen to my preamble about narrative street.
Oh, thanks. So in general, this Rutgers defense has struggled. They're dealing, obviously, with a lot of injuries, both on defense and on offense. I do think that ultimately, Minnesota is probably going to find a way in this one. If you look at like Kelly Ford, for instance, they have Minnesota 62% chance winner, a 6-point margin. I think it'll be close. I'm going to go with Minnesota 27, Rutgers. I can't give it a 6 because I was going to go 21, but that would be right on. So I got to pick. I got to do something with the spread. Here, I'll do Minnesota 27, Rutgers, a very unique 20, and Minnesota will cover. And let's see, 27 plus 20 is 47, so that would be an over.
Interesting. I almost want to fade your picks then at this point because you've been so bad. But here's what I will say. Are you ready for your random stat of the day that I teased earlier then forgot about?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Opposing Big Ten kickers against Rutgers are 1-6 on field goal attempts this season.
Seriously? Like, so, blocks? Are these blocks or misses?
I believe most of them are misses. Because here's what I'll say. I like to deep dive stats. I've got a heavy math background. I like to tell Luke Buer I'm through Calculus 4 for no reason in my life anymore. So I like to live in the numbers a little bit. And that's where I'd like to look through all the Big Ten stats. And I looked at the red zone stuff. And just Rutgers defense overall. And I was like, they've only allowed 1 field goal. That's weird. Is it they're just allowing all these touchdowns? Which they are to a certain extent, but it's not to that horrific of a level. And then I looked. Opposing Big Ten kickers are 1-6 on field goal attempts against Rutgers this year. What a weird stat is all I'll say.
Yeah.
So if you want to be Mr. Sunshine, a.k.a. Luke Buer, Minnesota has scored 31 or more points in all 3 of their games against Rutgers in the history of this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to continue this weekend against an injury-riddled Scarlet Knights defense. Harbaugh's offense puts up 400 yards of total offense, 31 points as Max Brosmer doesn't turn the ball over yet again. And then defensively, you slow down the RPO run game with Manungai and Ethan Kelly-McManus falls victim to Heatherman's opportunistic defense with two turnovers. In that world, the Gophers win 31-13. Now on the Johnny Raincloud side, Kirk Shiraka off a bye week, Luke. Speaking of narratives, I didn't even address this one.
Can I guess?
I don't even know what there is to guess, but go for it.
Shiraka is elite out of a bye.
You know, I actually went back and looked to check my own narrative.
Yeah.
To see if I'm fake news or not, and I am a little bit fake news on that.
Okay, sure.
Now, to be fair, Rutgers off a bye week last year. They had one bye week. They played Ohio State the next week.
Oh, that's tough.
Not really fair. I don't really compare Minnesota's defense to Ohio State's defense, but you have Kirk Shiraka off a bye week to get Ethan Kelly-McManus and this Rutgers offense ready to go. And in this Johnny Raincloud scenario, the Illinois native has a record day at quarterback, which would be very Minnesota sports-esque. Plus, Manungai gets it going for over 100 yards because the Gophers have struggled against this type of back. And then on the flip side, a healthier Scarlet Knights defense bows up in the red zone to force field goals, doesn't allow touchdowns, and Rutgers steals one at home 28-23. Now, as I love to say to end off the prediction each and every time, where does the reality lie? And it's always in between. So I think a lot of Gopher fans are riding high, as they should, because if you look at the trends, to Luke's point, Minnesota's won four in a row, Rutgers has lost four in a row. But I would say I agree with the analytics here. Minnesota wins this game 60-65% of the time, probably. And I feel like the sentiment that I've felt from the fan base this week is it feels like a lot of people think it's a cakewalk. I just have any given week in the Big Ten, especially this year. Now, I'm going to pick Minnesota to win. I just think that Rutgers is so banged up, even off the bye week.
Yeah.
They've got double-digit guys that are playing through something that can't be fixed until off-season surgery, which is bananas. But I will say this. I would be gobsmacked if Rutgers does not start fast. They've had an extra week to prepare. This game really means something to them if they're going to get to a bowl game. It's at home. But I think Minnesota weathers the storm, pulls away in the second half. So Luke picked an over and a cover. So I'm going to pick a 23-17 game, which is an under.
And it's a push.
I got 6.5 in all the lines I'm looking at, by the way.
We'll call it 6.5 just for fun.
Yep. So we both got Minnesota winning, which if you want to know bowl scenarios, by the way, I have said this before and I'll say it again. It's the only article Luke Buehr will read on my website because he refuses to support me emotionally, physically, and even monetarily at Gopher Illustrated. So nobody spends more time thinking about Gopher bowl game scenarios than Dan Owen, who is absolutely phenomenal at it, to the point where I believe he now has like contacts at bowl games because he's been doing this for so long. He released his bowl predictions for this week with three games to go, and if you're curious where Minnesota is trending towards, Dan gives you all the scenarios, all the things you should be looking for this weekend if you're trying to have Minnesota go to Nashville or Charlotte, or there's still a very real chance they could also end up in one of the Florida Bowl games. So give that one a read at gopherillustrated.com. That one is full free.
All right. So we should talk real quickly just about some Big Ten games, Ryan. So we have a Friday.
We've only got a few because there's so many teams on second bye this week.
Yeah. There is a Friday night game that will feature Iowa at UCLA. Many people would have assumed this would be a blowout early in the season, but
your guy, Ethan Garbers, has caught fire like he did for the third consecutive game.
I just want to mention though, especially where, you know, it'd be a blowout where, Iowa is 6-3. They're 4-2 in conference, and UCLA is 3-5, 2-4 in conference. But the spread here, Ryan, I see right now is only 5.5 with an over under of 44.5.
So this game either goes one of two ways. Caleb Johnson goes nuclear like he's done essentially the entire year. And if he does that, Iowa's going to win because their defense will be able to get on their heels. Well, if UCLA wins, it's because Ethan Garbers is going to continue to be absolutely unconscious, which We saw that for a couple drives against Minnesota, but in the two games since, my man is throwing for about 300 yards per game, completing over 70% of his passes with 6 touchdowns and no picks. I mean, he is as white hot of a quarterback as Iowa will see all year. And as someone who played, or excuse me, I didn't play. I covered it. Who am I thinking, saying I played? Someone who covered a night game at the Rose Bowl. It's a weird vibe out there, and I can only imagine what it'll be on a Friday night in Pasadena. But it wouldn't shock me at all if UCLA makes this thing a lot closer than what people may be anticipating.
All right, so Purdue travels to number 2 Ohio State, where they'll play in Columbus at 11 a.m. on Fox.
Is this the worst big noon game of all time?
It might be. The line, Ryan, is Ohio State 30 by 38 with a 53.5 over-under.
I'm pretty sure Purdue now gets back-to-back national TV games because I'm pretty sure next week they play Penn State on 2:30 on CBS, which...
Good for them.
Who is asking to see 1-7 Purdue? And now I understand, Ryan, it's not about Purdue. It's about Ohio State and Penn State. Yeah, I get that. But Purdue, man, they're just so bad, like so horrifically bad that Ohio State's going to pull the starters in the fourth quarter.
All right, Michigan travels to Memorial Stadium in Bloomington. Again, another Memorial Stadium for a 2:30 kick on CBS against Indiana. Indiana is a 14-point favorite with a 48.5 over-under. Worth noting that Indiana is number 8 in the country.
There's no shot Michigan pulls this off, right?
Seems really unlikely.
I just don't know what to think about Indiana. I know that they have absolutely murdered everyone that they have faced. And there's no denying that. Like, if you took the word Indiana off the front of their jerseys and put it against the teams ahead of them, you can probably make an argument they may should probably be higher. But it almost feels like if Michigan gets a little bit healthier, that maybe they give Indiana a run for their money. Now, we saw Michigan State do that in the first quarter last week, and then Indiana scores 47 unanswered. I just think that this Indiana team is a buzzsaw. But you ready for this narrative, Luke, considering we're going to continue to go down that? Could they potentially, your Hoosiers, be looking ahead to the bye week to prepare for Ohio State coming up afterwards? I would say probably not. But college football is a weird game, man. The ticket, did you look at the buy it or the ticket price to get into this game?
I did indeed.
$244 in Memorial Stadium in Bloomington to even get in the door.
Yeah. All right. Maryland heads to Eugene, where a 6 o'clock kick on BTN, they'll take on number 1 Oregon. Oregon is a 25-point favorite with a 57.5 over under.
I am astounded about the number of just gigantic spreads this deep into the Big Ten. But can you blame them considering this game where Oregon is just killing anybody they face? And then Maryland, I mean, what they got to go from East Coast to West Coast. I mean, I'm surprised, honestly, this thing doesn't start with a 3 in front of it for a spread.
Yeah. Washington travels to Beaver Stadium. And I'm telling you, man, they're going to play number 6 Penn State at 7 p.m. on Peacock. I don't feel good about this one. I'll tell you that much. Penn State's a 13-point favorite, 46.5 over-under. Long trip for my Huskies. And Penn State coming off that loss is looking probably to make a statement.
You ready for my bold take here? Well, yeah. Actually, it's Penn State at night. I take it back. If it was Penn State during the day, maybe. But Penn State at night in Beaver Stadium is just, I mean, good luck getting out of that way. To your point, I think that they're going to find something again. But I would say, I think Washington keeps this thing close into the third quarter before Penn State pulls away late. I just think it is so, so difficult to beat that team at night in that stadium.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's sign off, huh? Narrative Street episode complete. Want to thank you all for listening. Thanks for our sponsors who make this possible: Home Field Apparel, the Burns Insurance Agency, and Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group. A reminder that Dinkytown Athletes does have their does have their $1 million match campaign going now. So make sure that you sign up for a new membership. If you're not a member, lots of perks of being a member that are totally worth the exchange of money there. And keep getting your DuckDuck beer and your Folly coffee and whatever promotions they have to continue to support our Golden Gopher athletes. So, yeah, thanks for listening, and go Gophers.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.